going to go first to Washington, D.C. Ken Timmerman is standing by, and the day has come. I'm excited about it. You will be, too. Ken, you have released your book, your brand new book. You've got a number of books. You're a prolific writer. But this was entitled Dark Forces, The Truth About What Happened in Benghazi. Now, this is as up-to-date as you could possibly be. I know that we don't have all the time you'd like to talk about the book, but give us a couple of thoughts about it, why people need to go get a copy of this book.
Well, thank you, Jimmy. Yes, the book was just released this week by HarperCollins. And it tells what happened before the attacks in Benghazi. It gives a pretty detailed account of what actually happened that night. And I can tell you there are a lot of surprises because most people don't realize that the attacks went on for hours and hours. And the State Department was getting reports back into the operations center constantly about the attacks. There was never any news whatsoever about a protest that went awry, let alone a YouTube video that might have caused it. The book also looks at the cover-up. If you want, Jimmy, the big breaking news in the book, number one, the Iranian government was behind this. They sponsored the attacks. They organized the attackers. They carried out intelligence gathering against the CIA and the consular facility in Benghazi. Number two, the United States was smuggling weapons into Benghazi legally with a presidential finding and then illegally out of Benghazi to jihadi groups around the world. This became a scandal and caused the need for the cover-up, if you wish, when a Stinger missile that had been supplied by the CIA to the country of Qatar was used in an attack against a U.S. helicopter in Afghanistan in July 2012. Turns out a fragment of the missile was found inside the helicopter. It did not explode, and that fragment had the serial number. And by the way, Hillary Clinton was asleep at the switch.
Wow. Wow. What I love about you, you do the research, so we can be pretty assured that what you're saying is absolute truth. And I would suggest you better get copies of your book over to the United States House of Representatives and those people over there investigating this cover-up of Benghazi.
Guess what, Jimmy? I hand-delivered a copy to Representative Trey Gowdy, who is in leading the new select committee on Benghazi, and not at his office, but at a dinner. So I was able to, you know, talk with him for a couple of minutes and hand him the book, which I know that he took back with him. So I'm expecting that he will be looking into some of these leads in the coming months.
Wow. Where can they get it? Amazon.com?
Amazon is probably the easiest and the quickest way. It's in a Kindle edition, which I love. It's also, you get the hard copy. I think they've got it for like $20, so they're giving a discount for the hard copy on Amazon. Or you can go through my website, kentimmerman.com, and just click through on the cover of the book, and that'll take you directly to the page on Amazon.
Be sure to do that, kentimmerman.com. Well, let's get to the issues I want to discuss with you. The situation in Iraq seemingly getting worse than since last we talked. Give us an update on what it is going on right now.
Number one, in the north of Iraq, Christians are being driven out from Mosul. They've been forced. Virtually all of them have fled Mosul in northern Iraq. There used to be 75,000 Christians in Mosul 10 years ago. Today, there's virtually none left. Many of them have gone to surrounding towns and villages in the Nineveh Plain, which is the Christian heartland, if you wish, in northern Iraq. And I've just gotten reports today, this morning, I just got reports on Friday that the ISIS has been shelling those Christian villages on the outskirts of Mosul, trying to make Christians flee even further away. So we really need to pray for our brothers and sisters in Christ. They are being threatened really with genocide in the north by ISIS. Beyond that, ISIS has taken over the border crossing with Syria at Al-Qaim. So they now have contiguous territory from Syria into Iraq. The Syrian government has used its own air force to bomb ISIS positions inside Iraq. The Iraki Prime Minister, Nouri al-Maliki, thanked them for doing that because his own air force has been incompetent. And finally, tragic irony here for us and the failure of American policy. ISIS in Mosul, when they took over Mosul, also captured large amounts of U.S.-supplied weaponry. We know that they got Humvees. We know that they got rocket launchers. We know that they got some helicopters, even, and Hellfire missiles, air-to-ground missiles. Now, I don't expect that ISIS is going to be able to use the helicopters anytime soon, unless they're getting trained helicopter pilots from someplace. But nevertheless, this means that they now have a significant modern arsenal that they can use. And to boot, they have raided the banks in Mosul and now have about $500 million in cash. So they are the wealthiest terrorist group in the world as we speak.
Well, Secretary of State John Kerry visited Baghdad and a meeting with Prime Minister Maliki this week. Did that make any difference?
Not that I've been able to see. We're told that Secretary Kerry tried to convince Maliki to form a coalition government. That does not seem to be in the cards. He is digging himself further into his deep hole of sectarianism, falling back on support from Iran, falling back on support from the Mahdi militia, which is backed by Iran. This is Muqtada al-Sadr, the man that we wanted to arrest early in 2003 after we entered Iraq the first time, and who escaped our clutches thanks to Paul Bremer, President Bush's overseer in Iraq, the man that I blame in one of my earlier books for most of the policy failures that we had.
Talk to me about Muqtada al-Sadr just a moment. His father was a very famous Ayatollah. In fact, Sadr City, a suburb of Baghdad named after his father. This militia, this Mahdi in Arabic meaning Messiah, they believe that their Islamic eschatology is about to be fulfilled, and they probably would be the militia that would help keep ISIS out of Baghdad. Is that right? But where does Muqtada al-Sadr want to go? Does he want to be prime minister or what?
I don't think Muqtada al-Sadr wants to be prime minister at this point, but he is certainly flexing his muscles. He is getting young men to jump on trucks and issuing them AK-47s, even though they have no military training. He's expanding the ranks of his militia, and there are lots of young men available to join it. So he could very quickly put, I would say, tens of thousands of young men together in to be able to oppose ISIS. The thing, though, is that ISIS has demonstrated a great deal of military skill, Jimmy, and their campaigns have been quite successful, have been well organized militarily. So fighting against even large numbers of unskilled, untrained young men is not a terribly difficult thing for them to do.
Could Baghdad fall and fall into the hands of ISIS?
I don't see Baghdad falling at this point because there are still Iraqi government military units there who we hope are better trained. They were trained at one point by the United States before we pulled out all of our advisors. Baghdad is, there's a very large Shiite population, and it's a mixed city. All three ethnic groups live there, the Shiites, the Kurds, and the Sunnis, as well as what used to be a large Christian population. Many of those Christians have fled because of jihadi attacks on their homes and neighborhoods. But it still is, it is a mixed city, and Baghdadis would not be welcoming to ISIS.
A Syrian airstrike, was it inside of Syria or inside of Iraq where that happened, or do we know?
My understanding is it was inside Iraq, and they hit ISIS positions near Al-Qaim, near that border crossing, and the Syrian airstrikes were welcomed by Prime Minister al-Maliki.
Yeah, and al-Maliki's refusing still to step down, so this thing doesn't look like it's going to go away for quite a while.
Oh, no, this is going to continue. There's going to be more violence, more bloodshed, and I fear ISIS setting up their caliphate in Iraq and into Syria.
Wow, that does have end-time prophetic significance as you listen to that statement from Ken Timmerman, the man who covers activities happening around the world, geopolitical activities, but we've been focusing the last couple of weeks on Iraq because Ken has been there a number of times, has contacts in that part of the world. Remember, Ken has his brand new book out. It's entitled Dark Forces, The Truth Behind What Happened in Benghazi. It's available at Amazon.com or Ken's website, KenTimmerman.com. and I can't hardly wait to get my copy. Ken, thank you so very much for being available for us today. We'll talk again next week.
Thank you, Jimmy. It's always a pleasure to be with you. God bless.